Good morning. This is Brian Trumbore with your week in review for Saturday, September 5th. Well, vacation is over. President Obama and Congress returned to work this week. I'll spare you the usual lame jokes in this regard. And it seems as if Obama read an op-ed by former Republican Senate leader Bob Dole in the Washington Post, Dole having written in part, quote, "Many of us were taught that a president proposes and Congress disposes. Today, Congress is doing both, with the president relegated to the role of cheerleader-in-chief as he campaigns for various House committees' efforts. Certainly, Obama supports much in these proposals, but Barack Obama is our president, not a commentator. Obama's approval numbers would jump 10 points if Americans knew he was fully in charge. A tactical move of introducing his own plan on health care would also stir more Republicans to become active for reform in critical areas. Right now, the president's biggest problem is with congressional Democrats, who are split and searching for a way out of the medical wilderness. In short, the president, Congress, and the public are choking on all this, and choking is not covered by the legislation." That's Bob Dole. So Obama is going to regale us with a speech before a joint session of Congress on Wednesday, as he supposedly lays out some specifics, finally, on what he would like to see in healthcare legislation, which also means he'll have to spell out how he plans to pay for it, beyond the inane comment that reform will save billions by rooting out waste and fraud. He's going to have to admit he is breaking his pledge not to tax American families earning more than $250,000, let alone how he's going to tackle the enormous deficits he's already running up. And this will all set off another round of talk show diatribes and ill will. Or he could just try and bamboozle us one more time. But I haven't even gotten into the fact that with the official unemployment rate having now hit 9.7%, with an unofficial one far higher, let alone having a vice president running his mouth off about how successful the stimulus program has been when he's not even close to the facts, the Obama administration's credibility is verging on nil. I do, however, believe Barack Obama is an immensely talented, smart individual who had the makings of a good leader, favored by 55 to 60% of the American people on a consistent basis, and that would have made for a solid legacy. But what is increasingly clear is he is being tremendously ill-served by his staff, just as his predecessor was in many respects. While I hardly expect Obama to shake things up so early in his term, it's an appropriate action to take. It's time to admit he's made some mistakes. It would show real guts and leadership. As for the economy in the street, Wall Street that is, the global outlook continues to brighten, even if some perpetual pessimists don't want to admit it. Manufacturing indices, for example, have now exhibited signs of real growth, not just a slowing in the pace of contraction. From Australia to India and China to France and now the US, with other big players following suit with the September readings, no doubt, so that's good. China once again led the news on Monday, though, as its stock market fell 6.7%, thus taking the correction in Shanghai into the bear phase, down 22% from the high in August. There were all manner of concerns that liquidity was drying up and that the economic stimulus had as well. But then the next day, the manufacturing number in China was a very solid 55, 50 being the dividing line between growth and contraction. And bank lending for August was still strong, so the market proceeded to rebound. Chinese regulators then said all the right things, that it will maintain a loose money policy while urging the banks to lend prudently. But it's also a well-known fact that October 1st is National Day in China, celebrating 60 years of communist rule, and the last thing the government wants is a market crash ahead of this. As you know, I have a large position in a specialty chemicals biodiesel outfit in Fujian province, and I am as acutely aware of what's going on here as possible, given my location. I'm confident the China story will continue to work, and as much as I don't trust the numbers implicitly, I know the growth rate is substantial and that gradually the economy is transitioning from one totally dependent on exports to one where both exports and domestic demand share the spotlight. If I'm wrong on this, well, for starters, then we're definitely headed for a W-shaped double dip. A few other items. Globally, South Africa's economy is in its first recession in 17 years, having seen GDP decline 3% in the second quarter, though better than the first quarter's 6.4% drop, while Canada's economy exhibited similar numbers with GDP down 3.4% in Q2 versus the 6.1% fall in Q1. But Australia avoided recession in displaying growth of 0.6% in Q2. Aussie. In the 16-nation Eurozone, the manufacturing index came in at 48.2 for August, a considerable improvement. But the unemployment rate for July hit 9.5%. Consumer prices were down 0.2% last month in the Eurozone. Back in Asia, Japan's industrial production was up 1.9% in July, but retail sales were down 2.5%. Japan also had a rather important election that I have further details on Stocks News, the Week in Review link. In the U.S., the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index hit 50 in August, far better than expected, which was followed by the national ISM manufacturing figure for the month, 52.9, also far better. While construction spending for July was down 0.2% in July, factory orders were up a less than expected 1.3%. Pending home sales, though, advanced a super 3.2% for July, the best reading in this category since June 2007. But on the real estate front, issues in the commercial market continue to make the headlines. If it bleeds, it leads, as the default rate for same could hit 7% in 2009. In each and every one of your neighborhoods, you see examples of construction loans gone bad, but I repeat, this will have minimal impact on equity prices. August auto sales improved, thanks to cash for clunkers, with an increase over July and the highest total since May 2008. But year-over-year, GM sales were still down 20% and Chrysler's 15%. Ford, however, bucked the trend and saw its sales for the month increase 17%. Honda's U.S. sales were up 10%, Toyota's up 6%. And it was a week that saw U.S. retailers report same-store figures for August, and while they were still down in most cases, Kohl's being a positive exception, there are signs that traffic is beginning to return. Lastly, we had the aforementioned jobs report, with the economy losing 216,000 jobs and the unemployment rate spiking to 9.7%. As bad as the jobs data has been, a trend is nonetheless in place, and there is growing consensus we will see actual growth in the first quarter. Seeing as the stock market is a forward-looking animal, it's one reason why even after a 50% move off the March lows, equities just don't seem to want to correct much at the end of the day, as much as the bears want the market to validate their theses. Me? I haven't changed my outlook all year, so why would I do now? Not being fixated on the fundamentals solely and looking to sentiment and past market behavior as well has held me in good stead thus far, even at the bottom in March. Those who ignore the influence of sentiment on the markets are bound to make their share of mistakes, and so, while I won't be the least bit surprised to see a sizable correction along the way, the target has remained the same. 20% gains for the Dow and S&P, 30% for NASDAQ by year-end. Actually, as far as NASDAQ, we basically hit 30% the week of August 24th, and heck, it's up 28% year-to-date as of Friday. But since I focus on sentiment as much as I do, it's why I cannot ignore items such as Iran and H1N1, the two that I've said all year are potential game changers. Obviously, if swine flu really gets cranking beyond laying up some college and high school students, my alma mater, Wake Forest, made NBC Nightly News the other day for the number of cases there, and progresses to the point where airlines are cutting way back and the malls are empty, those calling for a double dip will be right, but for the wrong reasons. And obviously, when Israel attacks Iran, say November, one must weigh the blowback. No one has any idea the level to which Iran and its proxies, such as Hezbollah, will strike back. Do they take down some commercial aircraft? Do they hit some of our shopping malls? Or is the blowback confined to soft targets in Europe or Latin America? Better still, do the Iranian people, recognizing the predicament their leadership has placed them in, revolt in numbers that overwhelm authorities? But try finding more than a handful of strategists today that even mention the potential of Iran to ruin the critical holiday shopping season, not that it's going to be good anyway, let alone one's portfolio. So friends, don't be surprised if in the coming weeks I say I'm hitting the bunker and advising all to sell their stocks. I've never been a market timer, at least a successful one, but I'm going to take a big stab at this one. In the meantime, especially since in the case of swine flu, we won't have the vaccine for at least another 4 weeks, cough into your sleeve and wash your hands 50 to 55 times a day. Turning to the action on Wall Street, so much for that nasty correction. One of these days we will see it. But after being down about 3% at the lows early in the week, stocks posted minimal declines as the Dow Jones lost 1.1% to 94.41. The S&P 500 fell 1.2%, and NASDAQ lost just 0.5%. As former NBA star Derek Coleman said to no one in particular, whoop-de-damn-do. Gold, though, flirted with 1,000 as everyone rushed to sell their signet rings for beer money. I loved how everyone was also talking about gold's advance, signaling something unknown was about to occur. Yo, guys, the unknown, Iran, and an attack on same should be no surprise to the learned. That's all for this week. I will not be doing a podcast next time. I'm going to be down at Appalachian State for a football game next Saturday. But I'll be back with you Saturday, September 19th. Have a great holiday.